If you have your Bibles, turn with me, please, over to Ephesians 6, just two verses, 14 and 15. Ephesians 6, 14 and 15. Stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Let's pray together. Father, quiet our hearts here in this place, and through the ministry of your Holy Spirit, help us to see clearly what you have written here. May we come to grips with what you have said, and then our responsibility to respond. How do you want us to take this truth and incorporate it into not just our minds, and hearts, but into our lives, and perhaps even this week, how we will respond to the challenges that will come our way. I pray, Father, that this will be more than simply an educational exercise, but that you will speak directly to us. So help us to block out the distractions, focus on your word, take your word, and your servant, please, and teach us. In the process, help us see Jesus more clearly. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this is part two of the armor of God. Last week we looked at the introduction to all of this. The book of Ephesians is all about taking the truth, that is, that we have been saved by grace through faith, and the finished work of Christ alone, taking that and then making very practical application. As this book comes to a close, Paul challenges us with this reality that if we are truly born again, and we've taken the truth of our salvation and who we are, and the fact that God is actively, through his Holy Spirit, helping us to grow more and more like his Son, our Savior, the Lord Jesus, if that's happening in our lives, it's going to reflect itself in our marriages, in our home life, with our children, and it's going to affect how we work day to day. Paul is expecting that this is so real, it will permeate every area of our life. And he would ask, if somehow you can take your faith and put it in a box, or assign it a file folder, or a slice of pie in your week schedule, if you can do that, he would say, at the very least, I'm not sure you're born again. I certainly don't believe you fully understand what it means to be a child of God. Perhaps you just haven't grasped it all yet, but I think he would leave room for saying, perhaps you're not truly a child of God. So take that as a warning, he would say. Because as he finishes this up, if you are truly living as you could, as you should, there will be resistance. The more effective you are in living out your faith, the more winsome you become, pointing others to your Lord and Savior, the more you will be the target of Satan himself and the demons that give him power. So, Paul reminds us that there's a battle going on. This battle, if you are born again, this battle is not for your soul. You are secure. The battle is for your testimony, your joy, your contentment, your usefulness, your ability to serve, anything that he can take from you. He cannot take your salvation, but he can certainly weaken you. So, Paul says, put on the whole armor of God. And perhaps you remember that word, put on, is not, as Paul regularly does, something that you do over and over again. No, this is something you do once. You do it and you keep it on. Because once you become truly active in your faith, you become a continual target. Therefore, you need continual protection. There is never a time when a believer goes on R&R. There is never a time when you leave country and are suddenly in safe territory while here on this earth. So you put on the full armor of God. Last week, then, we also saw that we need to know our enemy. And our enemy is not flesh and blood. Our enemy is not somebody we can see. The true enemy is Satan himself. The way he influences everything that is around us and the many ways he would tempt us. There are two words used in the New Testament that reflect the challenges that we have as believers. One is testing. Only God tests. God is a good father. God is a good teacher. He tests so that we will pass. He tests to help us see where we need to grow and where we have weaknesses. But he tests always for our good, to move us along in our walk with him. The Bible specifically says God does not tempt. That's Satan's view. Because Satan might do and use some of the same, or go after some of the same areas, but he always goes after us to the end that we will fail. His desire is to never make us stronger, but to make us weaker and useless in God's kingdom. We need to know that. We need to know that we walk around with targets on our back. And we need to know how to protect ourselves. So put on the full armor of God. Today, I'd like to talk with you about the first three. Next week, Lord willing, the other three. Put on the full armor of God. The first one, first part of verse 14, stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth. Stand firm. Remember that phrase from the introduction? Hold this ground. Remember, this is critical area. You are critical. You are critical to the work of God in our community. He wants to use you. He wants you to be a good representative, a good ambassador. He wants you to reflect who he is to those around you. That's your territory. That's the ground that you need to hold. Not let Satan get that. So stand firm. Hold your ground. Having girded your loins with truth. I think there could have been a host of English words used to translate this phrase. I'm not quite sure why that's regularly the way it's done. But the simple picture is we need to know the truth. Now, girding your loins is a reference to a belt. Now, especially us men know the value of a good belt. and sometimes in combination with a good pair of suspenders. And that's important to this picture and to our understanding. First, the picture, the belt. For the Roman soldier, remember that's part of what Paul is using here as illustration. He's got at least two right there with him in the prison that he's in as he's writing this letter to the church at Ephesus. That belt that the Roman soldier was wearing held everything together. Really. Today we might refer to it as a utility belt, a tool belt. What's the value of a good tool belt? One, you can put everything in it you really need. Whether you're a carpenter or an electrician, a medic, a soldier. My father was from the Korean War generation, finished in Vietnam, but most of his time would have thought in terms of the late 50s, early 60s. They wore an ammo belt. It was sort of braided, had eyelets all through it. And then there were all sorts of things that could hang from it. And I was intrigued by that. Obviously, there was a holster. But you could also have a canteen, a first aid kit, all kinds of extra ammo, all kinds of things could hang off of that. Think in terms of a carpenter, a hammer, some nails, all kinds of things in that tool belt. Everything you need for the job. But what's the other thing a good tool belt does? Keeps it all out of the way and hands-free, right? All that stuff you got in that tool belt, where are you going to, you know, it's in there, so my hands are free, so I can grab whatever it is I need. Paul says, put on, if I can, I don't think we necessarily do injustice, put on the tool belt of truth. So now that I have a picture of what is truth? Good question. What is truth? We live in a generation when even the church, those who call themselves a part of the church, take what we believe to be the truth of God's word, what he has told us is the truth, redefined it in so many different ways so that each can have his own truth. There will be teachers this morning in pulpits who will ask, well, what is your truth? What is truth to you? What is truth for you? For us, that's absolutely backwards. It is my job, it was Tim's job in our adult Sunday school class this morning, Marilyn's down with the kids, to tell the truth. Not ask you what you think is the truth. Here is the truth. Teach the truth. God's word. So it's important to know what that truth is. Just like everything that's in that good tool belt, it's also important to know how to use it. When to use it. That can be a challenge sometimes. And some are a lot better at it than others. Many are a lot better at it than I am. We need to share the truth. We need to represent the truth. So that others can have a better, for us as imperfect ambassadors and representatives, but so that others can have a better view of who God is. So, I've got a target on my back. Satan would like to take me down or out of the game, if you will, if at all possible. Render me useless, homesick. So So what's one of the first things I can use? The truth. When he comes at me, I can tell him the truth. Greater is he who is in me than you. Not me. I can't do battle with you. I come out the loser every time. But the one within me, he's stronger than you are. I know that. Is this right or is that wrong? Can I go here? Can I go there? Can I do this? Can I do that? I can have all sorts of ideas bombarding me at any one time. What's the solution? Know the truth. Know what God has told you is true. Don't let somebody else tell you what is true. Don't let somebody else redefine what God has already said. The only solution, the only protection against error is truth. So know the truth. Maybe you don't need it all. Use it all at the same time, but have it right there in your tool belt. Know it. Use it against the enemy. So stand firm using that tool belt of truth. Then the last part of verse 14, righteousness. And having put on the breastplate of righteousness. And then again, Paul will look over at that Roman soldier. And Rome, like most countries, have trouble from time to time protecting their military and making sure their military has all of the equipment that they need. And so at any given time, a Roman breastplate could be anything from heavy linen to metal. Just depend on what either was given to that particular soldier or what he could afford to purchase. But that breastplate was important. This is an area you want covered and protected. In Hebrew culture, within the torso would contain the seat of intellect, will, and emotion. When we think in terms of the heart, if we attach any sentimental value to it all, it's almost always emotion. But in the Hebrew culture and in Hebrew literature, the heart is instead the seat of intellect and choice. It's in the heart that you make a choice. Emotion? Well, you know, that's right where you normally feel your emotions. If I could use a technical term, your gut. You know, all that stuff that churns when things are going bad? Yeah, that. Well, if you're a soldier, you want your heart protected. And there are several things through here that you'd really like to keep that make life a whole lot better. Yeah, it does seem like maybe there's some stuff in there that we can get along without and it causes us trouble and the surgeon goes in and takes it out. We wonder what we ever needed it for, but there's other stuff. You know, they call it a liver for a reason. You need it to live, you know, that kind of thing. And so for that Roman soldier, whose most of his most of the challenge is going to be up close, hand to hand. You want this potential. So for you and me, doing battle against Satan to protect our intellect and our emotions, to protect what is vital to life, Paul says, put on a breastplate of righteousness. Now, one thing I think you and I know immediately, he's not talking about self-righteousness, right? Otherwise, we might as well leave it all. He's talking about, first of all, the righteousness of God. What is truly right. And that's going to include who he is and all that he's done for us and the standard that he has set as we pursue his holiness and his perfection. So then that brings us to my part in this breastplate of righteousness, the habit of making right choices. Now again, that's not self-righteousness. That's the habit of making right choices. Again, means I have to know what God has commanded, what God wants of me. I need to know what's right and what's wrong. I may not always understand why, but God has told me very clearly in his word what is right. And so I can establish for myself as a good warrior the habit of making right choices. Now again, see, that's not self-righteousness. That's a righteousness that comes out of knowing God's word and applying it to the choices that I make. That's not self-righteousness. That's still his righteousness. Because there are going to be times when I will probably make choices that won't make a whole lot of sense to me, may not make sense to you, but it's a clear recognition that God's in charge of my life, and he's told me this is what I need you to do. This is the choice I need you to make. Making right choices. And when that's our habit, we can protect our intellect, our will, and our emotions from the onslaught of Satan. He would have us question what God has written. He would have us question some of the hard choices he asks us to make. He will play as much as he can to our emotions. I want them protected by his righteousness and the consistency of my choices. And finally, verse 15, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. The gospel. So we've got truth, we've got righteousness, the gospel. What is the gospel? Well, that's that good news. That's what the word means. Good news. What's the good news? God loves you. You really wouldn't know that if he hadn't told you that. God loves you. He loves you so much that what gets in the way, sin, he took care of when Jesus died for you. Your sin has been paid for. That's good news. God loves me. It's good news. My sin has been paid for. That's good news. And to apply it to yourself, you simply respond by faith to that truth, to that good news. So by grace, it's a gift. Through faith, in the finished work of Christ. That's good news. Because I haven't had to do anything yet. And my sins are forgiven. That's the gospel. That's the good news. But notice, He's talking about shoes here. Shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Now again, Roman soldier, he wore the best shoes he could. Best he was given, best he could afford. They would have been thick and heavy because the terrain was all over the place. And if he could afford it, he would find some way to embed within the sole of those shoes, sandals, boots, some kind of glass, metal. Today we call them cleats. Again, because of the uneven surface over which he would have to walk and march. And remember, he's commanded to stand firm. Hold your ground. Make sure nobody takes this away from you. The guy next to you's got the same space. Don't let anybody take this away from you. So he's got to stand firm. He can't be slipping. He can't be sliding. He's got to know that he's got a firm foundation. What in the life of a believer is that firm foundation? It is the confidence that comes through the peace of the gospel. It's not dependent upon me. Yes, Paul has been teaching us that those who are truly saved will demonstrate that in their lives. But the gospel itself, my salvation, it is secure not in me, it is secure in the finished work of Christ. It's by grace, it's a gift. Can't earn it, don't deserve it. By grace, through faith, I simply have to believe what God has said. He loves me, Jesus died for me. By faith in Christ alone. Not in me, not in my response, not in my worthiness, none of that. Grace alone, faith alone, in Christ alone. When that's true, I not only understand the good news, I have peace. I can be content. I don't have to worry. I don't have to wonder. I don't have to be, as James says, tossed about by every wind of doctrine that comes along. No, I know I'm secure in Christ. I know the truth. I got a work belt full of it. I know the truth. And I can grab whatever I need whenever I need it. I've got a breastplate of righteousness, his right choices he's encouraged me to make. And it's good news. Unbelievably good news. The God of the universe, the creator of it all, the one who made Adam and Eve perfect in a perfect environment, who sinned and ruined it all. The God who created all of that and watched as it was destroyed, ruined, said, I want it. And Jesus died for it. You and me. The God of the universe loves me, loves you. Jesus died for you and for me. That's great news. Know the truth, make right choices, and remember, good news brings genuine peace. And you will be at least half protected against the one who's put a bullseye on your back, who would take you out of the game, send you home, render you useless. If you could, let's pray. Father, thank you for your word, and thank you for its truthfulness. I pray, Father, that we've handled it accurately and in a way that we can use to encourage us I know my brothers and sisters here. Like me, sometimes we need to be reminded that we are in a battle, and there's a reason why we're not always functioning as well as we could or should. It's because we haven't put on all of this armor, or we've ignored some of it, or we've neglected some of it and not kept it in the best of shape. We've forgotten how to use some of the tools in the tool belt. Forgot to put on the reality of the gospel. And thought that maybe somehow we could protect the vital organs of our faith ourselves. We could move quick enough or somehow evade those flaming darts that are headed our way. Forgive us. Thank you for the reminder. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for your Son, our Savior, the Lord Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen.